Acts chapter 13, and we're going to be reading from verse 13. And it's quite a few verses that I want to read this morning, so I will cut my comments down appropriately. But if we can turn to Acts chapter 13 and verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. I'm just going to take a moment and show you this little map here while I'm reading, and you'll perhaps be able to follow that. So we said last week that down there in Cyprus where Paphos is, and then he's moving up on arrow number 3 to Perga, and then he's moving up on arrow number 4 through to Antioch in Pisidia. So it's arrow 3 and 4 that we're looking at today. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years, until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfil all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew not him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honourable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So there you can see how that journey of the apostles went. Paul and Barnabas, they took John and they sailed from Paphos to Perga. Then John went back. We'll hear a little bit more about that on another occasion perhaps. But John went back to Jerusalem. It seems that he found the journey too much, too difficult. Perhaps he was a little bit young for this role that he had been given, but he went back to Jerusalem, and the apostles went on to Antioch in Pisidia, and then that was where the sermon was preached. The sermon is very straightforward and clear. It shows us how the apostle spoke to the Jews of his age, and how the message which he preached was concerning the history of the Jews. You might be wondering why it is that there are two Antiochs, because if you remember, that's where Paul and Barnabas had left. They had left Antioch down there in Syria. They had left Antioch down there in the bottom right corner, just above Syria. We can see that that's Antioch. Well, that's the town that they left. And then right up at the tip of that arrow 4, up at the top left-hand corner, we see another Antioch. So we haven't to get these two Antiochs confused in our mind, because there were two different Antiochs. It's actually quite interesting, because I looked this up, and do you know that there were 17 ancient cities in Turkey that were called Antioch? So there was the Antioch in Syria that they left, and there was this Antioch in Pisidia that they went to, and there were lots of other Antiochs there as well. You might think that's a little bit silly that anybody in the one country, in Turkey as it now is, would have 17 different cities all with the same name. And I thought it was a bit silly. And then I looked up Antioch in America. And do you know that America has 19 different Antiochs in it? So I don't think we can complain too much about Turkey having 17 when America has 19 in all of the states. And I think there are three different ones in Louisiana and three different ones in Indiana and two in Kentucky. So they're all spread all over the place. So there are lots of different ones. I've read quite a long passage there to you about how Paul and these preachers preached to the Jews, gave them a history lesson in order to build up to identifying the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah and as God's anointed way of salvation to men and women. And we read together, I think, perhaps some of the verses that are very important in realizing that this was Paul's purpose, to lead the people of the Jews into understanding that this man, Jesus Christ, whom the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders of the religion back in Jerusalem, had slain, crucified and slain. But he says there in verse 38, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." And that's a wonderful thing just to think about for a moment. That we all are sinners. We all do things wrong. We all do things wrong that disappoint us ourselves, disappoint those around about us, whether it's parents, whether it's friends, whether it's husbands or wives, whether it's brothers or sisters, we do things wrong and we hurt people and we hurt those that we love. We hurt the Lord with our sin and we hurt ourselves. We hurt our own consciences and we hurt our own souls. And what the Apostle Paul is telling us here is that while we all sin, everybody does, there is forgiveness with God. God forgives sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't remember anything else from this morning's talk, I want you to remember that sins are forgiven by God through the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he did. By him, we are told, all that believe are justified from all things. Justified just means to be made righteous, to be made pure, to be made whole, and to be made holy by God in God's sight. And that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting him and trusting his work on the cross and the blood that he shed to cleanse us from sin, we can know what it is to have forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of God given to us. A righteousness which could never be obtained by our own good works or by the law of Moses. And of course, we discover that the Jews largely didn't like what they heard. While some Jews listened and some Gentiles listened, we see that many of the Jews got angry at what the apostle was saying because they were envious at the fact that this message was getting such a big hearing from the people of the city. We're told that the next week the whole city gathered. But you know, many people think that they are better than the Bible says they are. And many people think that they can fix themselves. They can fix their own soul, they can fix their own conduct, they can fix their own righteousness, and they are what we call self-righteous. But God is never pleased with a man or a woman or a boy or a girl's own self-righteousness. He demands perfect righteousness, and that only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. These Jews, they spoke against the gospel. They didn't believe the gospel that Paul preached to them. And we are told in verse 46 that the Apostle Paul says, if you don't believe, then you are unworthy of everlasting life. If you don't believe, if you won't have the Lord to be Lord of your life and Savior in your life, then you don't want Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, if that's your attitude, we are going to take this gospel to the Gentiles. And we're told that many of the Gentiles there in Antioch of Pisidia believed on the Apostles' words and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lovely little verse there in 48 which says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That is, as many as God ordered, as many as God saw fit to give this blessing of faith and grace and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we cannot do it of ourselves. God must enable us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a people that he has ordained. And he has ordained them from eternity. He has ordained them in time that they will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be saved. They believe the gospel of salvation by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come to a knowledge of Christ as their Savior. The Jews, we're told, chased the apostles away. And they left Antioch in Pisidia, and they went to the next town on their journey, which is Iconium. And we see that that's the little arrow 5 there at the top. And so they go down to Iconium. And someone was asking the other day, I wonder how they did their traveling. I wonder if they traveled by horse or by carriage, or whether they just walked between these places. Well, I don't really know the answer to that. And maybe it was a mixture of all kinds. They would do a little bit of sailing when they could. I'm sure that would be a good way to travel. But there were a lot of mountains in this area as well. And they would have mountain passes to cross and some dangerous roads to travel. But they took the gospel as the Lord had commissioned them. And they took it to these various towns and cities. So thank you for listening this morning. And we trust that the Lord will bless these few thoughts to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.